Amen. He's on the warpath. She's gone over the top. It's time to bite the bullet. All's fair in love and war. These are just a few of the common phrases that we all use day to day, and they have their origin, or they use the imagery of war, of battle. And war is one of those things which is timeless. Doesn't matter where you live in the world, at one time or another, that place has had war. It doesn't matter what point in history you live, somewhere in the world, that era has had war. If we think of ourselves here in Northern Ireland, at one point in the past, many times I'm sure in the past, there has been war in this province, in this part of the world. And even as we think about the era in which we live, today in 2019, all across the world, war is raging. That makes it a very good, a very vivid example and image, because it means something to everyone. We all know what it looks like. We all know what's involved, and it means something to all of us. The Apostle Paul, I think, recognized this because he often used images of war and of battle in his New Testament letters, time and time again. As he wrote, he could see the parallels between the life of the soldier and the life of the Christian. And there's many parallels in his New Testament letters, but there are three of them that I want to focus on this morning. Three parallels between the life of the Christian and the life of the soldier. Firstly, there's the soldier's perseverance. Then there's the soldier's priority. And lastly, the soldier's prize. But we first of all see the soldier's perseverance in the third verse of 2 Timothy chapter 2, one of those that we read. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There we see the soldier's perseverance. He is much to endure in the course of his duty. He'll be, I'm sure, weary, hungry. At times he'll probably be lonely. He might be injured, or there's a very good chance he might even lose his own life. Physically, mentally speaking, there is nothing in this life more demanding than to fight on the front lines of battle. It is a hard thing. It is hardness, to use the words of Paul in this verse. That is true hardness. Now, I'm not very cultured, but my wife is maybe a little bit more cultured than I am. She likes poetry, and there's a very well-known war poet called Wilfred Owen. I'm sure many of you have heard of Wilfred Owen. And one of his most famous poems is a Latin title, Dulce et Decorum Est. Again, you may well know this poem very well, but the first verse of that poem reads like this. Bent double, like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge, till on the haunting flares we turned our backs, and towards our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep, many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of gas shells dropping softly behind. I think that poem really sums up the difficulty that the soldier will face, the incredible suffering and the misery of being on the front lines of battle. It is a difficult thing. And just like the literal soldier, there is much in the Christian life that we will have to endure. There will be loss, ridicule, suffering, some kind of persecution, I am sure. If you think in particular about the time in which Paul lived as he wrote this letter to Timothy, the early Christians, the very early Christian church, were a very oppressed, a very persecuted people. In fact, all of the disciples of Christ were put to death for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul himself, as he writes this letter, it's perhaps appropriate that he makes this comment in the third verse, because we see in verse 9 of the chapter, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. If you look at the first chapter in verse 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul wrote this letter from prison. He understands what it is to suffer, to have that hardness in his life, because as he writes the words, he's sitting in a prison cell, writing this letter to Timothy. The Bible, especially the words of Paul, teach us very, very clearly that the Christian life will be difficult. God, in his wisdom, and I stress in his wisdom, God allows trials. He allows temptations. He allows challenges and suffering to come the way of the believer. He doesn't remove every problem in our life. The moment we get saved, some would have us believe that as if every problem goes away, it's easy, it's all rosy, everything works out, and we're all very successful when we become Christians. But I think if someone speaks or thinks like that, well, they haven't been paying attention to what the Bible actually says about the Christian life. It involves suffering. And the soldier who endures that suffering is described in this verse as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. It is that soldier who is committed to serve under the banner of Jesus Christ. That soldier who's devoted, that soldier who's sold out for Jesus Christ, who will be able to endure that hardness. That soldier whose eyes are fixed on his Savior, fixed on Jesus Christ, it is only he who will be able to suffer and will be willing to suffer in order to serve his Savior. See, it could be said in times where the church is oppressed, times like in which Paul was living, that there's no place for the lukewarm Christian in those times of persecution. Under that suffering that's forced upon the church by the world, the truly devoted Christian, the truly sold out Christian, is very quickly separated from that half-hearted, disinterested Christian, that nominal Christian. In the book of 1 Peter, he describes it as a trial of fire. That persecution that the church comes under, it's like gold being tried in the fire. And that fire, it has a purifying effect on the gold. It purges out the imperfections. It purges out that which ought not to be there. If you want to take the church example, it purges out the imposter, purges out the lukewarm, the half-hearted, so that only that which is pure and true remains. And I think in the times we now live, we have freedom and liberty and security. We enjoy that as a church in the Western world today. Perhaps we've become complacent. Perhaps that lukewarmness has crept into our churches. That nominal Christianity runs through all of our congregations. If that is you this morning, the nominal Christian, the lukewarm Christian, is there a cost for you to be a follower of Christ? Maybe it keeps your family very happy for you to come to church. Maybe it gets you respect from those who you sit amongst in the pews. Maybe it even gets you respect from work colleagues. I don't know what it is, but for one reason or another, you're happy to wear the label of Christian, but no more than that. The question I have is, how long would that soldier last on the battlefield? That soldier who is half-hearted, he's not really committed to the cause. He doesn't really have his eyes fixed on the cause, the reason that for his service. He doesn't really believe in what he's fighting for. I think when the battle comes, when the hardness comes, if you think of the words of that poem that I read, if those circumstances arise, that soldier will not last very long. That soldier will be home in a flash. I challenge you this morning that if your Christianity, your faith is just a label, doesn't have this true devotion, this devotion that would take you to the grave if it had to. That was Paul's devotion. He was prepared to die for his faith. Then can you be labelled as a good soldier if that is not your experience this morning? When the trouble comes, when the challenges come, will you just soon defect, soon fall away and desert? There is no question of the hardness we will face. Paul mentions it time and time again, even in this one letter. But is our devotion to Christ, is our focus on Christ strong enough to endure that hardness? He is the source of that strength. He is the source that will allow us to endure that hardness. If we are not focused on Christ, we will fail to endure. So we see the soldier's perseverance, but we also see the soldier's priority. In the next verse, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Here in the fourth verse, Paul is reminding us about our priorities as members of the army of God. The soldier, literally speaking, is chosen to fulfill his role with focus, with determination. If you want to use your imagination, picture a soldier in the heat of a battle. He's not distracted. He doesn't take a break to go and make a cup of tea. He's not thinking about home, thinking about whether or not his grass needs cut, thinking about what the football score might be. No, that soldier is absolutely focused. There's only one thing on his mind, no distractions. He is desiring to follow the orders that he's been given. And like that soldier, the Christian is ought to have one primary focus. And what is that focus? What is that number one priority? What is the Christian's chief end? I use that phrase because it probably gives away the answer. The chief end of the Christian soldier, or the chief end of man, it is to glorify God. If you know your catechism, you will know that already. We must obey and follow the Lord to bring praise to him, to bring glory to God. That is the soldier's goal. Our primary focus should not be to earn lots of money, have a successful career, have the best car, the nicest house, the best updates on social media. Of course, we can spend time on all of those things, but we have to be careful that they don't become a distraction from what ought to be our primary focus as soldiers in the army of the Lord. If there's something in your life that takes you away from or makes it difficult for you to walk with God, that's what Paul is referring to in this verse when he uses those words, affairs of this life. Those things are entangling you. You can feel the power of that word, entangle, that Paul uses in the verse. Imagine that soldier trying to run, trying to fight, or whatever task he has to do. He can't do it if he's wrapped up, tangled up in a rope or something like that. It just doesn't work. He'll never succeed. He will fail. Whatever it is that's entangling him, it's stopping him from being an effective soldier. It stops him from being useful. And as those distractions of life eat up more and more of our time, more and more of our energy, it has that entangling effect, if you want to use that image. Whatever it is, it maybe holds us back from coming to church regularly, from getting time to pray, from joining in with outreach work or children's work or whatever it is that ought to be our main priority in service to the Lord. If you find yourself constantly saying, well, I can't help with that thing or this thing or the other thing, or I can't find time to read, I can't find time to pray, then the question has to be asked, have you become entangled with the affairs of this life? Are there things in your life that prevent you from being effective and useful as a follower of Jesus Christ? If the answer to that question is yes, well then something needs to change. We know what the soldier ought to focus on. He ought to focus on bringing glory to God. But what happens when that soldier fails to obey the words of the command of this verse? If that soldier's distracted, if that soldier's divided in his priorities, if he isn't paying attention, how does that end up? What happens to that soldier? Well, without being completely focused, without being attentive, that soldier is putting his own life at risk. The soldier who's careless, he can be very easily killed, very easily injured by the enemy. In the same way as believers, if we become distracted from God's word, if we become distracted from obeying his will, that will be something that is harmful to us. It puts our own well-being in danger. If we're not praying as we ought, not reading as we should, not attending church perhaps as we ought to, serving as we should, our spiritual life, it will suffer. You'll very quickly find yourself walking further and further away from God, even backsliding. Losing focus on our priority, it is something which will cause us spiritual harm. Not only ourselves, though. If we think of the soldier again, if he's not focused, if he's not careful, he endangers the lives of the other soldiers around him. It's not just himself. His fellow soldiers are also in danger. If you think of the soldier who's tasked as a lookout, his job is to watch perhaps the front line or the battlefield while the other soldiers sleep. He's the lookout. If he's not paying attention, if he's distracted, if he's tangled up with something else, caught up with something else, he puts everyone's life in danger. All the other soldiers are in danger because of his carelessness. And like that soldier, our lack of attention, our lack of obedience, It harms our own spiritual life, but it can harm the lives of those around us. I know what it's like to look at a Christian who is perhaps more mature than you. They've been a Christian much longer than you, or perhaps as a child you look at a parent. And if you're a parent this morning, this is something for you to think about. Your children watch what you put your time into. Your children watch what you consume your time and your energy with. If you're a believer in this congregation, others are watching what you spend your time on. And as one who watches, we're very quick to try and justify ourselves. And we say, oh, well, such and such doesn't make time for the prayer meeting because he does this, that, and the other thing on that particular night of the week. Or such and such, they spend all of their time doing this thing, that thing, or the other thing. Very quickly, it has an effect on everyone else. We think, well, it must be okay. It must be all right to focus all of our effort on that thing. And we all end up in the same place. We all end up losing our focus. We all end up losing out with God. The Bible refers to that kind of situation, that kind of believer who perhaps is careless, that other believer who's not obedient, as a stumbling block. He causes other believers around him to stumble. He causes other believers around him to sin. Ultimately, that is the effect. Make sure this morning that as a Christian soldier, you're not a stumbling block to the others around you. You're not putting the spiritual well-being of your fellow Christian in danger by your lack of focus. But look carefully at the second half of this verse 4. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That is why we focus on the things of God. To bring glory to him. To bring praise to God. My final little point on this section of the priority is that it's possible for a Christian to do those things which are outwardly good, outwardly appear to be right and honourable. Maybe it is regularly attending meetings in church and being involved in this and that and the other. But if our priority in doing these things, our motivation in doing those things, is perhaps to make ourselves look good, perhaps to please our family or parents, to impress other people in the church, that's not what Paul is talking about here. That is not a good soldier. The good Christian soldier is focused on doing that which is right. He's focused on service for the Lord because he wants to bring glory to God. He wants to obey God. Not to please himself or anybody else, but to please the one who have chosen him to be a soldier. To please and to bring glory to the Lord. That is the soldier's priority. But lastly, we see the soldier's prize. The soldier's prize. If we look, just flick back one or two pages in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a verse we'll look at there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it's the 12th verse. In this verse, once again, Paul is using the imagery of battle or of war. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, and he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. It's just that phrase, lay hold on eternal life. That soldier who fights in the war, yes, he's completely focused on serving his country. He's putting his life on the line because he wants to achieve that victory. But why does he do it? Why does he go through all that suffering? What's the prize? What is the reward for that soldier? Well, once the fight is over, once that soldier has achieved victory, what happens then? Well, the soldier goes home. He goes back to his family, back home to his community and his nation. And all of those people, his family and his neighbour, they live in peace. They live in peace. That is the reward for the soldier when he achieves his victory. It is peace. The soldier isn't fighting. He's not risking his life because it's just a good way to spend his time, because it's a right laugh. That soldier is looking forward. He's enduring the most difficult situation, the most horrendous suffering, the most challenging circumstances, because he's looking forward. He knows what that victory will mean. He knows what peace it will bring, the harmony that he will enjoy, that his family will enjoy. That is the prize. That is the motivation. That is what keeps him going. That is what pushes him forward. Paul knew that, of course, as he wrote here, as I said, from a jail cell. He's towards the end of his life now, and he's looking forward to that peace he will have in eternity. As he's fought that good fight, as he's run his race, the scripture tells us elsewhere, He's looking back and he's thinking, now I'm looking forward to eternity. And as the Christian, that is our motivation. Lay hold on eternal life. We fight that good fight, not because it's fun, not because it's a way to cure our boredom, a way to spend our time, but we're looking forward to eternity. After our fight is over, after we have victory, our fight is finished as believers in this world, what then? We will have peace. Eternal, infinite, everlasting peace with our Father in heaven. What a fantastic, what a powerful motivation and prize that is for the Christian soldier. And when you go through life, we talked in the first section about the suffering of the soldier. When you go through those difficult, trying times, those challenges, that persecution perhaps, whatever it is, think about that eternity that you will enjoy. Think about that peace that you will enjoy. That is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, did. He's looking forward to his eternal life. That's what keeps him going. That's what encourages him as he fights the good fight of faith. But this life that we have, there's a challenge here as well. This life that we have, if you think about the grand scale of eternity, it's vast, it's infinite. This life really is only a very, very short window. A blip, really. A speck on the grand scale of eternity. And the question has to be asked, what is it that we spend all of our time doing? Do we spend all of our time pursuing those things which only have value for this tiny little window that is our life on earth? Spend all of our time doing things that have great value, perhaps are very important, just for this tiny little window, this little blip? Or are we living in pursuit of those things that will last? Those things that have value throughout all of eternity? To win others to salvation, to bring glory to God. In reality, nothing else matters once this short life is over. Your career success, your bank balance, your estate, reputation, legacy amongst the world, none of that is worth a penny in eternity. Soldier who fights in this war, he will have peace once he achieves victory. He will receive the well done of God for his effort, for his devotion, for his work as the Christian soldier. And in eternity, he will have peace with God. That is the fate of the good soldier of Christ. And yet, there are some here this morning, and I recognize you have not yet even enlisted in this army. You're not a follower of Christ. You're not a soldier of his cause. If that's the case, you cannot have peace with God. You cannot enjoy that peace that the soldier looks forward to. You're described in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. It describes that person, you, that were sometime alienated and enemies. Alienated and enemy. If you're not in the Lord's army this morning, if you're not saved, you're his enemy. It's sobering to think of that you're an enemy of God. But also in Colossians 1, and just the verse prior to that, it says these words about Jesus Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus Christ has made peace with God by the shedding of his blood. This morning, you can enter into that peace. You can have hope of eternal life by trusting in that blood, by placing your faith in that death of Christ. You do not need to be alienated. You do not need to be an enemy of God. There's been a challenge this morning, a word I think for us all, the people of God. We know we're not as devoted as we ought to be. We know we're perhaps not as focused as we ought to be. This is a challenge to me as much as it is to anyone else. And the Spirit of God will challenge us in that regard. But as I finish this morning, if you are not yet a member of the army of God, if you this morning are found as his enemy, you must trust him now. Do not be alienated any longer. You risk missing that everlasting peace for all of eternity. Trust in the blood of that cross this morning, that blood of Jesus Christ, and you can have peace with God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning.